Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan than actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
We're in Radio Stakhanov HQ. We're back home, baby. We've kind of borrowed
a bit of an existential crisis. We're in a room where there's no light. It's all just, the walls are just black.
Yeah.
It's soundproofed. It's terrifying.
It's a studio and a kill room as well. We kill a lot of people here. We render meat so nobody can hear the screams.
Oh, dear.
How are you? You all right?
I'm not too bad. Obviously, I'm back in the UK for a bit here with you, Pete. It's not been a good morning.
Oh,
let me read out a comment.
Oh dear.
Read out a comment I received from Quib 1 hour ago.
Yeah.
Says, is it me or did Chris become fat again? Wait, no, it doesn't. It says, is it me or did Chris became fat again?
So you can't even write it properly.
So not only is it an insult, but it's grammatically incorrect. It's the worst kind
English.
Of insult there is. Yes, apparently I'm fat again. Which is true. I released a video just the other day, I think it was yesterday, called 10 Things to Do in Tokyo, around Tokyo Station. And I haven't actually been in many videos this year because I'm still putting out videos from Journey Across Japan, Never-Ending Cycle of Despair.
Well, you did all of your filming in like
all
a couple of
months
ago. You did a couple of, and then you've just spent the last 6 months editing, really.
I've spent the last 6 months sitting in a room, one hand on my trackpad editing a video, the other hand in a packet of biscuits.
That's the thing.
Inevitably, I'm going to be putting on weight. So, yes, I am fat again. I'm probably more overweight now than I was when I cycled across Japan. The moral of the story is, if you want to lose weight, don't do anything.
No.
Don't make an effort. Just sit in a room and just get on with it. But yeah, I need to do another journey across Japan.
How great did you get over the original one? Well, just don't film this one so you're not sat back in a studio.
To be honest.
With your trackpad.
Yeah, I mean, I did actually.
You're a mouse man. That's a bit more movement on your arms.
Mice. We don't use mice anymore. Trackpads for the win. I did lose a bit of weight on the cycle, as I'll talk about in an upcoming video, but I put it all back on, just editing.
Yes.
The thing is about editing, it takes a lot of time and energy. You spend lots of time in rooms like this, hunched over a laptop, eating things, and it's the ultimate way to put on weight. It's the fastest way. If you want to put on weight, just edit things and it will happen.
I find, I went to the gym a little bit, but I find it does clear the head. If you're really into the, in the middle of a project that's not necessarily time sensitive, I do find that, not exercise, because I find exercise very boring and I do it incredibly badly, so that's why I put on weight, but like, I don't like anything aerobic. I like playing a bit of soccer every now and again, but like, I like lifting weights. That's pretty easy. That's manageable for me because it's half an hour in and out. Fuck it.
That'd be a great tagline for a gym. Yeah, a gym
exactly.
Half an hour in and out. Fuck it.
I should be a personal trainer, but I do find it. It does help because it gives you a bit. Just gives you a bit of time away from the computer, doesn't it?
It does.
Unless you can have it on your lap and you can edit away with your trackpad as you're pulling weights around the gaff.
Exactly. No, I really should do something about it. And the second crisis I've faced this week is one of my family members, my great uncle. He recently, someone, a friend of his, showed him my YouTube channel.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah.
He's from the 1930s. Things were a little bit different back then. But he had a field day. He was furious, right, out of swearing in my videos.
Oh, really?
What is this? Swearing. Oh, my goodness.
I thought he was going to have rather aggressive views of the Japanese. Sorry, I thought I'm not watching this.
Or my weight.
Oh, yeah,
but no, apparently I swear too much in my videos. Right. I'm a terrible great nephew.
Your swearing is so minimal.
Recently,
to a lot
has
of
been.
Internet. I don't understand why, and it is mainly those across the pond, let's say, who don't hear enough swearing in their lives. They need more swearing in their lives.
Well, yeah, American people are always a lot more shocked by swearing, I find. A lot of people who are critical of my swearing are mostly American viewers.
Maybe you need to use the swear words that we're allowed to use that we're not allowed to use, but they're allowed to use, like wanker or bollocks. I've seen like a Newcastle Brown advert on television in America where it just says bollocks. I was like, that's a rude word.
Well,
you can't be saying that on the telly.
I play by the rules of Japan. Mm. Over in Japan, they use the word fuck for Christmas sales. Remember the Christmas fucking sale in Osaka for years ago?
That wrestling I went to. Tucker is coming, motherfucker.
They play by a different set of rules there. And those are the rules I abide by. So I won't be stopping my swearing. I've noticed I've sworn less over the years as time's gone on because, you know, just as your YouTube channel increases, you find you become more consciously aware of such things.
Yeah.
And I need to start pushing back against that.
Stop. Look, I've just started my YouTube journey, putting that little video up.
Travel clickbait. How many views and subscribers have you got now?
I don't know. Let's have a look.
For those of you that missed it, Pete recently came to Japan for 2 weeks. He set up his own YouTube channel, Travel Clickbait Farts.
Never going to use again.
And the last time I checked, you had 1,400 subscribers and 17,000 views.
Right.
What is it at now?
I imagine it's probably the same. Oh, we're at 20k views. 20k
views.
Wow.
20,000 views now.
So, subscribe, 2,000 subscribers.
Really? It's gone up 600 people.
Apparently so. Yeah.
And yet again, as I'd like to point out, it took me about 18 months to get 2,000 subscribers when I started out. So you've been fast tracked to the very top.
What? By the impresario, by the little mogul that I've got. And that is Chris Broad. I like the fact that all of the rest of the videos are like my old showreel from 2015, a video of me trying to balance bottles on people's heads.
Don't subscribe to Pete's YouTube channel. But if you do want to see it, what's it called? 60 Things to Do in Tokyo or something?
Yeah, 60 Things to Look at in Japan and go, oh, at for a bit. But all the rest
is
of the
videos
actually
the title?
That is the title.
That's so inconvenient. Just type in 60 Things to Do Japan and his video should come up. It's not a bad video, to be fair.
Just find travel click bit for all on the iPhone X.
Oh.
All filmed on the iPhone.
Why did you say that?
I don't know.
Giggly. All from the iPhone.
Because you travel bloggers have got, you blog boys and girls
that,
have got like, have got some nice.
I use this for some videos.
Oh, I see. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, today we've come before you, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about 12 things we wish we knew about Japan before going.
It's a good job we're filming
cumbersome
this.
Cumbersome title.
Because this could work as a little introduction to the actual podcast. Could go, pew, number 12, pew, number 11, pew, number 10.
We could do. Are we filming this?
Yeah, we are. Oh, put your top back on, you pervert.
I need to sort my face. The good thing is, because it's a high angle lens, fit. Right? That was part of the problem with the recent video, me looking fat. Lots of the angles are quite low.
I imagine your wrists and your right arm is probably quite muscular because obviously the DSLR is quite heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to be pretty strong to hold a bloody camera and film yourself. And that was one of the things I journeyed across Japan. If I wasn't cycling many kilometres a day, I was bloody holding a camera like this. It does take a fair bit of strength.
Yeah.
Very strong. Go. Brilliant. So we're going to be talking about things we wish we knew about Japan before going. I wish there was an easier way to phrase that awkward sentence.
12 things you need to know before going to Japan.
Perfect.
By Chris and Pete.
And
a tourist and a person who lives there.
Hopefully, some of the things we're going to talk about will kind of help you. If you're going to Japan anytime soon,
yes,
hopefully it'll save you an awkward situation or two, or something going wrong. Mm. And my first one, I'd like to think we've kind of ordered these in almost chronological order of your trip if you're going to Japan. The first one, my first one, I've got six, Pete's got six. My first one is try and avoid flying into Narita Airport. There's two airports that service Tokyo. Tokyo Haneda and Tokyo Narita. Actually, Haneda's really close, and that's the one I recommend. It's a brilliant airport. It's quite nice and shiny and brilliant.
20-minute taxi, 20-minute ride taxi. Into town, well, easy.
There's a monorail as well that goes straight there into Tokyo. 20 minutes, beautiful, love it. And then there's Narita, which takes about 3 days trek to get to and from. I hate it. It's not a very nice looking airport either.
It's an hour and a quarter from Shinjuku, I want to say, but even then it's patchy.
It's the main reason I don't like Narita is just the distance, you know. If you're flying into Japan, odds are you're going to be tired, jet lagged, pretty grumpy. I can't stand it. I remember just arriving, just, I want to sleep somewhere, I want to die. But no,
but
you've got 2 hours fumbling through Tokyo, fumbling through the countryside on various trains to try and get into Tokyo. It's horrible. I hate it.
But you can rely on the trains in Japan. So there's that. So it's not like the Heathrow Express or the Gatwick Express or the Luton Shuttle.
How dare you speak ill of the Heathrow Express?
I do like the Heathrow Express. It's good.
But another reason to avoid Narita, or incentive to visit Narita, is, of course, the Japanese TV show You Are Nanishi Nihoya.
What is that?
Why have you come to Japan? I often stand around the arrivals lounge.
At Narita. Right.
Filming foreign people coming in, and they interrogate them. What are you doing? Why are you here?
Ah.
And if you give them an interesting answer, they'll follow you on your journey around Japan or doing whatever you're doing.
That is rude.
And I want
some buns for that. I want some yen for that.
It'd be great if you were on it. I mean, I've not been in it directly. I've been indirectly because a few people have turned up and they've said, what are you doing? And there was a German guy who had come to Japan to do the Wanko Soba noodle challenge. I've got a phrase carefully. Wanko Soba. Wanko Soba.
Nobody's eating those noodles.
Wanko Soba noodle challenge in Morioka, where you have to eat like a staggering amount of noodles, 100 bowls of noodles.
He's a competitive eater. He's a competitive eater. He's come to Narita and now he's going to eat some noodles. Boop!
I think he's just a normal German person.
He's just a normal German person.
Just a nice German lad. He fancied to eat some needles. And they said, why have you come here? How did you know about the needles? That's mental. And they went, we're in Japan. And they played a clip of the video.
I see.
So I've been on it indirectly. And if you come to Narita, there's a chance. So I know quite a few people that have ended up on it.
Right, okay.
You'll come through. And if you see a TV crew standing there leering at you, if you want to be on TV in Japan, so that's the first thing you want to do when you arrive in Japan, go and talk to them.
I think I've been on one of those shows. I was in Akihabara, I think I told you. I was in Super Potato, the video game shop, and I was with a TV presenter in the UK called Alex Zane, who's relatively well known over here. But no one knows who he is.
I've met Alex
Zane
directly as well.
Exactly.
Because I've been on his TV show, Ruchi.
So he... that's right, yes, that is
he
true.
He featured me on his TV show in the UK.
And so me and him were not doorstep, but this woman wanted to talk to us about what we were doing in Japan. Similar sort of thing. It was Halloween, so I had to carry a bag full of costumes. And my main costume was Minnie Mouse. She was going, Minnie Mouse? That's a lady's costume. And I went, yes, sexy. Yes,
or did you say in that sort of sly, creepy voice? Yes.
Sexy
des. Yes.
Yes, sexy des. Hi.
Sexy des. Oh, dear.
So, yeah. So, but the thing is, you're on these shows and then you don't know how to actually access them. You don't know what channel they're from, what station they're from.
Exactly. I've been on Japanese TV a fair few times now over the years, and I never know where it is.
No.
I'll be like, this is on Mezumashi Terabi. I'm like, don't know what that is.
Or, weren't you on a panda television? I remember it was very early in the morning.
Was I on a panda television?
Was there a panda or TV panda or something? I seem to recall.
No.
Are you a YouTuber, that guy?
Oh, that was Mezumashi Terabi. I think it was Fuji TV or something.
Okay,
or
yes, that's right. Fuji. I don't know why I've concatenated in my brain Fuji with panda.
Don't get that.
No.
There you go.
Never mind.
Hey, what's the what's your first thing though, Pete?
Toilets, guys. Toilets. First things first. I was going to chime in with the airport thing. Kokonai is quite a good word to use. Kokonai, like as in, what do you call it when you get in between the in a country flight, a not terrestrial. What do you call it? If you get a flight in a country. So say I was
domestic
flying.
Flight.
Domestic flight. Kokonai, domestic.
Oh, Kokonai.
Kokonai, right. Tarminaru.
You do know it's the most if you need to weird, find, if you, random vocabulary.
Yeah, because you learn something. You learn. That's how I used okisugiru. Too much. Too
these
many.
These are words that you really don't need to use.
Yeah, I know, but it's useful.
Kokonai.
If you're trying to find the domestic terminal at an airport, sometimes you can't find the domestic terminal sign. So you sort of ask, where's the Kokonai Tarminaru? And then you go like that. So this time round, toire is a really good word to know. Or right. Even though you say people don't use the word toilet, I want people
oh,
to...
Oh, no, we do. They do.
Do they get a toilet?
I like to be more elegant. I use oterai.
Oterai.
Like bathroom.
Oterai. And o is o the honorific kind of the,
yeah,
the fancy?
Yeah, it's just easy okay. Just sounds terai. Like oterai.
Terai.
Toilet.
Now.
In English, I don't know. Like, where's the toilet?
Yeah.
Like, where's the bathroom? Where's the restroom
exactly.
facilities?
Exactly. They're good words to learn, but also the kanji on the door as well. We've spoken about this before, but try and at least learn the boy one, which is... rice field and power together means man.
What if you don't know what the kanji for rice field or power looks like?
It looks like the side of a Battenberg cake.
Because there's a video you can actually put on screen.
It's again?
This is a video, isn't it?
It's in the video.
Wait, I thought it was filming
this. Let's put it on screen.
There you go.
Now.
Boy.
Did you enjoy that? Was that beautifully put together by presumably Chris? Because if I get mans on it, it's going to look terrible.
And if you're just listening to this, just type in woman kanji or men
woman
kanji
toilet
and
woman Japan toilet
and it might lead to some precarious situations.
Don't
but those are the two kanji characters you need to know, because if you go into a toilet in a Japanese restaurant or bar, often they are just in Japanese characters.
You
if you don't know the character for male and female, you're fucked.
And also in small bars and restaurants and stuff, there's only one toilet. There isn't a girl or a boy one.
I mean,
so
that makes it a lot easier. But I remember I've at least walked in the female toilets by accident.
Oh, I did that.
Thrice.
I did that in a hub years. About 3 months ago when I was back out.
3 months ago?
Exactly 3 months ago.
I thought you knew the characters.
Yeah, but I just want. No, because in the hub, they've got like an old Victorian gentleman who looks a bit like a dandy, a bit like a girl, a bit like a Victorian dandy. And a woman, I was like, and a woman came in, I was like, oh, chigaimasu. Mistake.
Oh, chigaimasu. Kokonai. Kokonai this.
Hentai. And then die. I did the hands. I didn't
oh dear.
Do any of those things.
Yeah, learn those characters and things won't go wrong.
And you won't got a prison for going in the wrong toilet.
What a great reason to go to prison. The third point. So Narita Airport, avoid that.
Mm.
Learn the kanji for doors. Second, third, people do understand English words. I wish I'd known this, but
right.
What you find is most Japanese people do actually know English words.
Yes.
The bit where Japanese people go wrong is grammar.
Yeah. And that's what they get stressed out about, isn't it?
They get stressed about grammar, they panic. You'll find if you can just say an individual word, right, you'll be fine. Mm. So you didn't need to know the word kokonai means domestic. You can just say, domestic, and they'll probably go, no problem. If you go, I'm going to go to the domestic flight, they'll be like, whoa, oh my God,
But also, don't
just
be afraid.
Just say individual words.
Don't be afraid to put a really heavy Japanese accent on as well. It may seem a little racist, and it may seem a little like Englishman abroad going, dos cerveza, por favor. but it does help. It does help because you end the holiday up and you're like, I've just spent or 2 weeks just sort of going, you know, computer, iron, like just saying,
iron.
But these words are borrowed words, so that's how they understand them. So don't be afraid to put a heavy Japanese accent on because it does help a little bit.
I'd love to make that into a video, just you walking around Japan trying to sound Japanese by
Saka.
Putting an accent on.
Shigoto wa radio no DJ.
Not even close.
No.
Radio.
Radio. I said radio, didn't I?
You said radio, didn't you?
No, I said radio.
All right.
Radio, not DJ. DJ have the radio.
See, that would work. People know what you're saying and think you're mental. Because Japanese students learn thousands of words, thousands of vocabulary, they're pretty good at memorizing vocabulary. When I used to work as a teacher, you would find they would nail like memorization test vocabulary.
Yeah.
The bit where it all went to shit was grammar and, so if you are in a sticky situation in Japan, and the language barrier is in the way, just try and say the individual word.
Yeah.
Try and say the same with taxis. You know, if you get in a taxi, Shinjuku. Don't go, hi there, I want to go to Shinjuku.
Yeah.
They're not going to understand what you're saying. If you just go, Shinjuku, please.
And most taxis, I just go, I just pick a tube station close to it and they just say, and then Shibuya Eki.
Absolutely.
Because there's no point in trying to find it by the... I know you're getting a taxi, but as long as you don't have too much stuff to carry, just choose a tube station. There are tube stations everywhere. So just pick the closest one.
Absolutely. I've had problems with taxi drivers. If you try and tell them the exact place you want to go, it gets awkward. One time I got out the train at Tokyo Station. I got in a taxi and I was trying to get to some office building somewhere for a meeting. And I told him, and he pulled over the taxi just outside the station, and we were there at least 20 minutes. And he kept typing, he didn't know what he was doing with the screen.
Yeah.
He kept typing the address, and instead of hitting enter, he kept hitting delete for some reason.
Right.
And you had to start all over again. He did it at least four or five times. Literally wanted to get out of the taxi, but you can't in Japan because the doors are automated.
Oh, nuts.
Bloody automated doors.
time for that.
There you go.
Enjoyable.
But if you're not getting a taxi, there is an alternative. And I believe that's your next point, Pete. Point number four.
Get on the train, get on the tube. Certainly in Tokyo and Osaka and the big cities, the public transport is second to none and it's very easy to use. Just remember that some of the train carriages, some of the metro carriages are women only. Just have a look around. There's a lot of pink around. There's a little sign saying women only. Oh my God, get out.
Wait, actually, the women-only signs are in pink, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So it's like a kind of women's-only carriage because men can't fucking help themselves.
I wish I'd known this because I more than once I've got on a carriage and it's been, I remember going on and it was a women-only carriage. I didn't see that. I didn't read. I'm not very good at looking around at my surroundings. I just do things. So I got on the train and everyone was looking at me, which is fairly, actually happens quite often in Japan if you're a foreigner. But everyone was looking at me especially angry.
Right.
And I realised everyone that was looking at me was a woman.
Ah.
And basically, I'd got on the women only carriage. So just me with like a rucksack surrounded by 40 women.
You could have said
a dream scenario to some people. But
literally the start of many videos I've seen in Japan.
Yeah.
Japan?
Japan.
Just to say your bag is a lady. My bag's a lady, so have some respect.
But yeah, bear that in mind. Before you get on a train, look at the ground. It kind of tells you if it's a woman-only carriage or not, or on the side of the train.
Mm.
And that will save you looking like a sleazy foreigner coming on.
Fundamentally a sad indictment of Japanese men.
Yeah. Very clear. Well, I mean, the reason it happened is because there's a lot of sexual harassment goes on.
Chikan.
Yep, Chikan. It's a pretty big problem. Japan's worst problem, potentially, in terms of sexual harassment. I don't think I've ever met a single person who's a female that hasn't had some unpleasant experience in Japan.
Mm.
Most of my female friends can regale something. Even if it's just something mild, you know, just being touched gently, weirdly. And I, you can see how it happens. If you go on a train in Tokyo in rush hour, right, as I did the other day just before I was coming to London, it's horrific. There's certain times of day they have to force people on with a stick. Because the train carriages are so rammed full of people.
I mean, you can see why it happens, as in you can see why people think they can get away with it.
Well, yeah, because you're like that and your arms are like that.
And you can't escape. And
you can't move, you can't put your hand in your pocket or into your bag or do anything. But someone with a sneaky hand can just come up, touch you from the other side of the carriage, and you won't know where their arm's coming from or who did it. Just because you're surrounded by about 50 people.
Mr. Tickle
from the Mr. Men books.
In 2019, his little caper, his little hustle... Takes on a bit of a dark edge, I would say. I don't think you get away with that kind of behaviour.
Defamation against Mr. Tickle.
He's got long arms for a reason, and I'm not having it. Yes. to put money on your Passmo card or to pay for your train ticket, what do you need, Chris?
Cash. Lots of
money.
Cash.
Dirty cash.
Don't look at my camera. How dare
Sorry.
You? Sorry.
I don't have a car. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I've got my own camera.
Dare you infringe on my camera.
Dirty cash.
That's a good point. Yes, the next point number five, is Japan is a cash-based society.
Mm.
Do bring lots of cash. Most people in Japan do carry about $500 worth of cash on them.
If I go like this, can you make money rain down on my camera? Dirty cash, I want you. Dirty cash. That's a strike. Copyright strike. It was accurate. My singing. Dirty cash, I need you. Whoa. Money talks. Is that right?
When it comes to editing this video, I'll decide whether or not that sequence warranted an overlay of cash raining down upon you.
I'm covered in yen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes.
And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Japan is a cash-based society. Lots of words now. Many other times that I've arrived somewhere and tried to pay with a card and not been able to. And you should always have at least $200 on you at any time. If you run out of cash, go to a convenience store. Don't go to a bank. Don't go looking for banks, because lots of banks in Japan don't take like MasterCard or Visa or whatever.
Right.
Just go to like a 7-Eleven, and those ATMs always do work.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, I don't know why it's cash based. It's really behind. Like in the UK and most of the world, we just pay by tapping cards these days.
Yes,
it's fun, isn't it?
It's
getting your card out. Beep, done. I've spent my money.
My Amex has been used so frequently, it's actually stopped working.
What?
The beep stopped working, which is very upsetting.
Oh my god. So that would never happen in cash. But it's quite a problem. I've had problems where I've gone to a restaurant, had no money or not enough money, the card didn't work, and I've had to like run out to an ATM and get some cash. So yeah, always carry some cash on you.
Yeah.
Be safe.
If you're going on holiday and you think, oh, I'll just get this amount of money and if I run out, I'll go to the cash point. I'll run to the 7-Eleven, which historically was the only cashier that actually worked for foreigners. But I think Family Mart started doing it a decent one as well. You are going to need that cash. So just get it out. You are going to need that cash. So just take out twice as much as you think you need.
I think the weirdest thing, I remember when I just saw my friend's wallets opening up and there's a wad of cash in there the first few years, I was amazed, because in the UK, most people don't carry a great deal of cash.
No.
I think I only ever carried like £5 in my wallet.
Honestly, because I got a tattoo recently. I bought, so that's kind of a cash business for various nefarious reasons, you'd imagine. But I've got a lot of cash in my house, and I can't remember the last time I've been able to use it. Most I went to go buy an ice cream with a £10 note.
Thousands of people, your house is full of cash.
Mate, look, if you can break in, you can have it. It's fine. That's not legally binding. That's not legally binding.
The empty beer cans and used pot noodles.
Don't actually drink it at home. So that's inaccurate, Chris. but yeah, I tried to buy an ice cream with a $10 note and they went, no, sorry, just card only.
Shit.
I don't know, what are the money launderers going to do? What are the drug dealers going to do? How are they going to get rid of their money?
Well, there was a problem where when the tsunami hit, a lot of cash got swept away with the houses, right? Because entire houses, entire towns got swashed away by the tsunami in 2011. And a lot of cash went with it because a lot of people keep their cash in their house under their bed. And it kind of shows you the vulnerability of having cash to some extent. But yeah, I just can't believe people carry $500 around with them.
Oh, yeah,
pickpocket's dream. But luckily, Japan doesn't really have any pickpockets. I've very rarely hear about it.
So not really, no.
You can be safe.
I was with a mate who had a wallet that had three prophylactics in it. And he is a man who is a father of one. And he... Why he sees fit to carry three condoms in his wallet, I do not know. So, yeah.
Is that how the I was just story surprised, just ends that's all. There,
he's not a sexy man. He's not a man who's really sexy.
Brilliant.
He doesn't strike me as being the world's sexiest man. So, like, why had three? I've never carried condoms around in my pocket unless it's of a type. Like, not during the day.
Confessions with Pete this
episode. Not during the day. In the evening, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you should. I mean, you should. It's very much the male's responsibility. But if there's ever a chance of it, I've always got one on me. That's all I'm saying, guys. All right.
I choose not to discuss my habits of everything like that. Or where I keep my cash in my apartment.
Does not use a prophylactic. Disgusting, Chris. Spreading your filth around. Noodles. Speaking of little dirty noodles.
Yes. Point number six. Oh, God. Slurping noodles is okay.
Yes.
The first day in Japan ever.
Yeah.
I had ramen with my friend, Dan. He showed me around.
Right.
And, yeah, everyone was slurping noodles.
Just
getting
a big old slurp.
Hey, slurp.
Slurp a dapper.
It's weird because you think, oh, Japan, they're very good about this sort of thing. You think, oh, they'd be nice. But they're kind of very unpleasantly noisy about it.
And it works because it cools down
it does,
the noodles.
It does, but yeah, you got to go like that. And I apologise to people, you guys listening with headphones, probably heard
ASMR,
that
baby.
In your ears. But that's what it's like if you go to a ramen shop anywhere in Japan. It's okay to slurp. If you don't slurp, you find it's actually a little bit tricky to eat ramen
usually
noodles.
You find yourself kind of scooping them in. And I'm terrible with chopsticks at the best time. Just getting them in front of my mouth. It's worse, if anything.
It gets really hard.
Yeah.
So, slurp noodles, that's the point there.
I reckon that helps splashes as well.
Splashes.
Yeah, because if a little bit of sauce, a little bit of ramen sauce, a little bit of soup gets on your top, it's very upsetting.
Very upsetting.
Oh, dear. And let's not forget that once you finish your noodles, tipping. You don't need to tip, guys. You just walk away. It's fine. They will chase you down the street. Don't tip.
This is a great thing about Japan. And certainly I appreciate more when I travel abroad to places like the UK. That's the only place I've travelled recently, where we do pay a tip of about 12%. I think in America it's 20% plus. It's a lot of tipping going on there. But in Japan, tipping hasn't been invented. It's brilliant.
Mm.
It means you can actually go out for a reasonably priced meal.
Well, I presume they pay their staff adequately.
I don't think they do pay the staff that much. I don't think it's a case of the staff get paid adequately, so there's no need for a tip.
I'd say that the British has formalised that we never used to tip quite so hard. Now it's just accepted that it's on the bill. And I believe a lot of unscrupulous companies just put everything in a pot and share it out and take 10% and stuff like that. So it's all just...
I don't like the pot method.
Well,
see,
bollocks,
as someone that waited as a waiter,
I
got tips and we had to put it in the pot. And then we had to share the tip earnings with the other staff who hadn't worked quite as hard as I had. So I was against the pot tipping.
But then what if you work back of house? What if you work cooking the food, actually creating the food?
But you should be earning more money.
Yes.
And the waiters should just be taking all the tips. Because I'm the waiter, I'm not a chef, so I deserve more tips.
Okay, fair dues.
But yeah, tipping isn't a thing in Japan. Don't worry about it. Don't feel inclined to tip. If you do it, it's just a little bit awkward because people will be like, why are you tipping me? What's going on? And also, I think in Japan, it just kind of makes them feel uncomfortable because it feels like you're judging their service quality. In Japan, people have to give their 110% every day at work, no matter what they're doing. Maybe they're a train driver, maybe they work at a restaurant, maybe they're flying a plane. I don't know why those are the three professions that came to mind. But people give it their all every day. And so they don't need to feel like they're being judged by having a tip.
Yeah.
And I think that's because Japan's service quality is good because people are less human, more like robots.
Right, okay. Right. I thought that was going to be ultimately very complimentary, but it didn't turn out that way in the slightest.
No, like, people give a consistently great service quality, but yeah. You can't really have small talk very often. Small talk, it just doesn't happen that much in service quality there. People just deliver a good service quality and then they go on with it. Mm. It's quite robotic, but it's efficient and, yeah, there's no need to tip.
Lovely.
Save your pennies.
Save them pennies.
Spend it on something else.
Yeah.
Like footwear, which is our next point.
obviously, when you go for a bit of food, occasionally a little drinky drink, you frequently have to be asked, or don't have to be asked, you frequently find yourself in a situation where you have to take your shoes off. So if you've got those weird strappy boys, big booties that go up to your knee, that take ages, or maybe some Roman sandals.
Yeah.
They like tape all over your leg. You're going to have trouble getting them off, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, this is another thing I wish I'd known before going to Japan, because I had some nice Timberland boots.
Right.
Trying to impress people, so splash big. I think they're like £60.
Wow.
Big money. On some lovely boots. And then every time I went out for a meal, or went into like a public office, or did anything, I had to take my boots off, and it took about 45 minutes to do that. Whilst everyone's going and having fun, I'm still there by the doorway, getting my fucking boots on. So don't wear big silly boots. No. Just have some nice trainers. Use Velcro. Be cool.
Really?
No, don't use Velcro.
Don't use Velcro. Don't use. Just paint the feet. Just paint the shoes on.
I remember the days when I was 7 and Velcro was good.
I'm trying to think what I use in Velcro. It's just bags now, isn't it? Velcro.
The only time I used Velcro recently was doing a blood pressure test.
Oh, yes.
High blood pressure.
How is your blood pressure? You got high blood pressure.
I'm fat, aren't I? I'm fat, Pete, so I've got high blood pressure. Anyway.
Get that man some statins.
And if you wear boots in Japan, have to take them off every day 4 or 5 times, you'll have high blood pressure too. So it's a nice, easy to slip on trainers.
Yeah.
Next thing, though, Uber isn't a thing. We should have probably put this in when we're talking about taxes. But yes, lots of people talk to me about going into Japan, going to Tokyo and using Uber. Uber hasn't really been invented in Japan yet.
It's there, but it's only for really expensive
Uber.
Kind of
they call it Uber Black service, right? I think they're trying to roll out taxi hailing services in Japan.
That would be very useful in more remote areas as well.
But there are a lot more taxis in Japan than any other place I've ever been in the world. Like, if you go to any station, Sendai Station had at least 100 taxis out the front of it any time of day.
Yeah,
hugely. That'd be a great T-shirt.
Hugely,
with your face on it. Or my face.
Your face, fatty.
Because I'm fat.
You ain't your face, my girl. Fat boy. For toy.
But, Uber isn't a thing. Don't go to Japan expecting to have Uber. Go to Japan expecting to spend lots and lots of money on taxis. Taxis with great service. And they wear gloves.
They got doilies.
The doors open themselves. Make sure you remember that, because that can cause all sorts of problems. I don't know why that is. I think it's because you don't have to touch the door of the taxi, which is inherently dirty because it's driving around town all day.
Yeah.
It's great. I got a cab earlier to come here, and I was waiting for the door to open. Why isn't the door opening? Why let me? Oh yeah, you do it yourself here, like every other country in the world.
Yeah, it's like Alan Partridge, where he was stuck in his travel tavern, and he went to a friend's house and tried to dial an outside line. He was like, "I was dialing an outside line, Lynn. I was pressing 9, Lynn."
Oh, Alan Partridge.
Never mind.
Beautiful. Bear that in mind. Uber's not a thing. Taxis are incredibly expensive.
Yes.
Probably try and avoid them. The only time I recommend using them is if you've got loads of luggage.
Yes, and in every boot, the taxi driver always has a little brolly for himself, which is very adorable.
Yeah,
it's not a single boot.
I've had a taxi driver who's let me just have the umbrella. Yeah, they just let me have it.
Nice.
Just tipping it down. I got my bags out, and then they just gave me an umbrella.
Oh, mate.
So sometimes when you're spending $1 million on a Japanese taxi,
you get a free umbrella. You get
raining.
$7-Eleven umbrella. But of course, we talk about Uber not being a thing. Actually, finding a way of actually accessing the Uber app is actually sometimes quite difficult. Public Wi-Fi is just not a thing.
And this is point number 10. Public Wi-Fi is rare in Japan. Japan does have very good high-speed internet, but it can be quite rare if it's not in your apartment. You know, if you're going around town, it's just not there.
No.
And it really is quite annoying. I've had lots of instances where I've needed it. I actually have to... There's been times where I've been making a video on the go, right?
Right.
I'm trying to put it up on YouTube. Videos sometimes like 2 gigabytes.
Yeah.
which I can't do over my phone. So I have to go and go somewhere like Starbucks. And if you need the Wi-Fi quickly,
yeah,
just go to Starbucks.
Right, they're
fine. And there's, for some reason, I think Japan has the most Starbucks in the world after America, potentially.
Well, we looked at the big one, the big boy.
We did look at the world's biggest Starbucks.
Good Lord.
In Nakano,
that was huge.
In
Nakano Broadway.
Nakano, no, it's not, is it? Is shit, it? Where is it?
Oh.
Nakano, Naka, bollocks. What's
is it,
it
not
called?
Nakameguro?
Nakameguro.
Nakameguro,
there
yay.
You go. Yes, biggest one in the world. But no, there's huge. A lot of Starbucks in Japan.
Mm.
Go in, grab a Americano.
Stand outside.
And
leech off it.
Break all the rules.
Break all the
steal
rules.
Steal
Wi-Fi.
Stealing public Wi-Fi.
Come on.
Don't do that, ladies and gentlemen.
These big corporations don't pay any tax, so I'm going to steal their Wi-Fi, frankly.
Fair point. But yeah, be aware of that. Public Wi-Fi isn't a thing. Mm. A lot of people, like Pete, do grab a Wi-Fi dongle.
Get Wi-Fi dongle, though increasingly I am just getting a, making sure I've got an unlocked phone. And cause it's
or,
easy.
Or a map of Starbucks, bro.
Or a map
where
of
you can
Starbucks.
Stand out the front of and steal public Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
But every airport in Japan comes with a shop that sells like SIM cards and Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Or you can at least rent them. And they're very easy to return as well. They give you a little envelope, you put them in any postbox, and you are golden.
Do it. If you're coming for two, at least, you know, if you're coming for 2 weeks, highly recommend getting one.
Last two, Chris.
Last two. Smoking indoors. I wish I'd known this as an asthmatic. Smoking indoors is common in bars and restaurants. If you don't like smoking just because it smells horrible, then you're in for a nasty shock because most places do allow smoking indoors still. I'm talking bars and restaurants.
Yeah.
They are trying to phase it out, especially before the Olympics, because Japan is quite far behind the rest of the world on this. Obviously, smoking indoors was outruled in the UK many years ago. Not in Japan. Lots of smokers still there. Natsuki loves it, as we all know. Natsuki loves his Marlboro Red.
One day he'll give that up.
I wouldn't get too optimistic there. But yeah, if you don't like smoking, they most places do have segregation, smoking, non-smoking, and actually the first thing you'll be asked when you go in is, do you want smoking or non-smoking?
Right. So okay. You can. What's the word for smoking?
Oh, don't put me on the spot. It's kien.
Kien.
I need to check this because I always get mixed up. This is one of the things I've got over 7 years. Yeah. I keep failing to remember if it's kien or kitsuen.
Right,
there's
okay.
Two words, they sound quite similar.
Because I thought smoke, I always said that smoking was it kufo or fuku? Fuku is close, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or fubu, I forget. Fubu is that old.
All right, so kitsuen. Is smoking.
Kitsuen.
And kien is smoking.
Which one's smoking, which one's not smoking?
I'm going to kill you.
You said both of them were smoking.
Kien.
And
it's quite difficult to say. It's K-I-N-E-N. Kien.
K-I-N.
Abstaining from smoking. No
kien.
Smoking. Kitsuen is smoking. Kien, no smoking.
Ah,
how are you going to remember that? What mnemonic? What meme are you going to use?
Kienen.
Kienen and Kel.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go, yeah. Kienen
so
is
remember,
not smoking.
Kienen and Kel. Kienen doesn't like smoking.
Yeah, okay.
And they will say Kien or Kitsuen when you walk in. You just sort of say, oh, yeah, Kien. Unless you like smoking. Kitsuen it is.
Get involved.
And the last point is, and this is completely random, you can buy almost anything at a 100 yen store.
Find a 100 yen store. You can buy the aforementioned proper prophylactics, you'd imagine. Or you could buy a toilet brush. Or you could buy a handle for your carrier bag.
I think you could buy nearly everything we've mentioned on this list in this video.
Oh, massively.
At some point or other. Yeah, 100 yen stores, which equates to about $1, I believe. In Japan, they go above and beyond, and they are brilliant.
Yeah.
The best one is Daiso. It's the best known one. Daiso. Lawson's 100 is another one.
Oh, they've got their own, have they?
But
right?
In the UK, we have Poundland. I don't know, in America, what do they have? Walmart is just very cheap. I don't know what there is.
They go for bulk, though, don't they? They go for like cash and carry kind of places,
right.
Don't they? I think that's
Costco.
Where they make their savings. Yeah, Costco's
always savings. Yeah, in Japan, literally anything you want, 100 yen store. Could be a notebook, could be a sense of self-worth. You could buy it there at a reasonable price, 100 yen, amazing. And it's actually, I used to go into Daiso, the 100 yen store, just for finding weird English.
Right, okay,
They have notebooks covered in weird English Japanese.
And they don't necessarily need to bother with marketing.
No, they don't bother having it proofread.
No.
That costs money. Why bother? It gives their brand a sense of esteem by putting English on it.
Right, okay, yeah.
And then people like me come along and exploit it for videos and laughter.
The circle of life, as the Lion King once said. Circle of life.
But yeah, do go in. And those are our things. Those are our 12 things we wish we'd known before coming to Japan. Hopefully at least one of them will save you an awkward situation or lead to some fun excitement, especially the 100 yen store.
Can I get some more money raining down on me?
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Well, technically it'd be coins, wouldn't it? Because we don't have 100 yen.
Ah, my head! Help! I'm being covered in coins.
You didn't really capture the actual pain that would have accompanied the action of coins raining down you.
It's weird. I think one coin dropped on your head is probably more painful than a handful of coins, I would say.
That's a topic for next week. Before that, though, we've got some questions.
Yeah.
Questions. First one's from Kelly and Kyle Bull. Hello, Chris and Pete. We live in Tillinsburg, Ontario, Canada.
Lovely.
Your videos have inspired us to plan our first trip to Japan. My husband and I are in the early stages of planning, but we're hesitant because we're a bit on the chubby side. I can relate to this. Mm. How plus-size people, specifically tourists, are regarded in Japan? How are they regarded in Japan? Would we face any discrimination or obstacles based on our size? We're looking forward to our trip, hoping that our sizes won't hinder us from enjoying Japan. Thanks, Kelly and Kyle. That's sad. They've had to think about that or consider that. Yeah. There's going to be no problems.
Nah.
Maybe
if anything you'll get bigger. No food there. Yeah,
probably. Yeah. Popular misconception about Japan, everything's healthy. Mm. Not at all. but yeah, capsule hotels, that's the only problem you might have.
Yeah.
Because there's capsules, I've had my feet sticking out the end, although that's less to do with weight and more to do with height.
They're uncomfortable at the best of times, so unless you're gonna do that.
They're not fun getting into. Yeah, you won't have any issues. Obviously, in the past, I've mentioned that I did have issues when I put on a bit of weight when I was working there.
Mm.
There's a video called Don't Get Fat in Japan. It's almost got 2 million views. It's one of the better videos on the Abroad Japan channel, which I recommend checking out. But I talked about how when I was working as an English teacher, friends, colleagues, students, everyone came and made it well known to me that I'd put on a bit of weight in my second year.
Right.
I think I must have put on like not even that much, like 10 kilograms or something. Right, that's quite a lot.
People notice.
But yeah, it was a noticeable amount. And literally every day, two dozen people would prod me in the stomach and be like, oh, you're fat.
But they're familiar. Like, oh, they know you.
Great.
So like...
Yeah, but still, like, yeah, you wouldn't do that in the UK.
No,
I wouldn't be like,
you
oh, how you doing, Pete? Oh, you're fat now, aren't you? Oh, look at you. We wouldn't do that. We'd see that as kind of very rude.
Yes,
and in
rude.
Japan, they don't care. They kind of see it as being for your own benefit to let you know that you've put on weight.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's very rare to actually see people in Japan who are overweight or rare by the standards of the West.
Mm.
People there are very fit. I don't know how they do it. I've still got to work that one out, given that they don't really have a healthy diet.
Mm.
I think people do a lot of exercise, do a lot of walking and cycling and things.
I do a little bit of walking and exercise, and I'm only going in one direction.
Well, you're not overweight.
I'm technically overweight, yeah.
No, he's not.
Technically,
look at him.
5'8".
Look at the camera. He looks fine.
5'8", 11 and a half stone. Terrible.
Well, I'm like 14 now. Don't make me feel. Now I feel really bad.
Let's wrestle.
This podcast is going to end with me crying.
That's what we wanted.
My cup
clicks.
Of coffee.
Turn it into clicks, mate. Then we'll get the liposuction. Couple of grand. Come on. Let's get it sucked out of you. Love your job. Hey, Chris and Pete. I've recently made a big mistake. A couple of weeks ago, when you talked about the song Hello Kitty for the first time, you made it sound like a shit song, so I didn't listen to it. And then you brought it up again in last week's episode, and then the curiosity got the better of me, so I listened to the song, and now I actually can't stop listening to it. I swear, there is some sort of drug in that song. Thanks, guys, from Tom in Sydney.
Yes, the other week we talked about cultural appropriation.
Yes.
Fun topic, everyone loves cultural appropriation. We talked about Hello Kitty.
Yep.
Avril Lavigne.
Yep.
Worst song probably made by humans in the last 50, 60 years.
Okay.
It's all, you like it?
No, I don't like it at all.
It's a song...
I can appreciate it.
People said that the music video was cultural misappropriation or something because it made Japan look bad. It wasn't really. It's just
no.
A rubbish video. I don't know. Yeah, how could you possibly like it, Tom? Tom in Sydney. How can you like it?
Certainly catchy. I mean, like...
Is it?
In the same way.
Minna saiko arigato. Kawaii. That's the opening line.
Yes.
Everybody, you're amazing.
Love it.
And
love it.
No, I hate it. Anyway, don't go and watch it. Worst song ever. Or go and watch it and agree with me that it is the worst song. One from Andy. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Andy.
Right.
I don't know why I'm so excited about Andy. I hope this email finds you well and that you're both doing splendid. I love the podcast and listen to it while I work. And it makes me really miss Japan. I'm going to Okinawa for the first time in August to study abroad, but I have a 16-hour layover in Haneda Tokyo Airport from 8:35 p.m. to 12:55 p.m. the next day. I've never been to Tokyo, and I'm wondering if you guys know of anything fun or interesting I can do or see that is relatively close to the airport.
Sweet.
Keep up the great work. Much love, Andy. Well, there you go, Andy. You've flown to the right airport. Mm. Earlier on, we talked about Haneda Airport being amazing and Narita not. Well done. You are just 20 minutes away from Tokyo, so you should escape Haneda. You can go right into Tokyo if it's 8:35 p.m., why not go to Shibuya, get some cans of Strong Zero alcohol and go in a karaoke room and just sing alone.
Hugely. I mean,
the tunes of Avril Lavigne.
It's quite close to Odaiba, isn't it? The old the Rainbow Road and stuff like that. You can pop in there. That's very nice. The little lights, get a taxi, get in there. That's not quite into the centre of Tokyo.
Yeah, you can. But you might.
Nice.
If I had that long, I would actually just go into Tokyo and you know, you could go into Tokyo, stay the night at a capsule hotel.
Hugely
fun. You could have a lot of fun. That could be a great video.
Mm.
16 hours in Tokyo.
I do have
layover
this fantasy.
Special.
I do have this fantasy that I'll get hooked up with a nice flight from some airline provider and just fly out, because I work Sunday mornings on the radio. Sunday afternoons on the radio. I fly out Friday morning, get there Saturday. Get there Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Have a day. Fly out Sunday morning Japan time.
Yep.
Get there Sunday morning England time.
That's pretty confusing. Yep.
So it'd be like 24 hours in Tokyo, 12 hours there, 12 hours back.
So you could make that video without needing to actually have all the flying bits in.
Say again?
You could make 24 hours in Tokyo without needing to...
But I want to go to Japan.
You want to go to Japan for one day to make a video called 24 Hours in Tokyo.
I don't want to make a video. I'm just saying it will be a really easy way to get my flights paid for.
Well, no, if you're doing that, you've got to film it. That'd be a great episode. But the thing is, you'd just be really tired. I'd be really tired,
and I would resent the fact that I had to go back. I'd break my visa conditions.
That would be really quite frustrating.
That would be very annoying. I don't know why I would do it.
From the airport, you can see the Tokyo skyline, right? It's just there. I've got to go back to London now. Rubbish. There you go, Andy. Yeah. Some great ideas there on... Well, there's not really, is there? There must be one thing. Come on. Give Andy one idea.
There's a great little... There's an art gallery in Odaiba
It'll be closed at 8:35 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
Rubbish.
All right, we'll just go on. Should we get pissed? Go gas panic.
Sorted.
Get pissed. Sorted. Not your job.
And the last question today is from Alpha Mike. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. When I come to Japan, and if I move there, is there a point getting a television? Or is it too expensive with not too many channels?" Alpha Mike. I've had a TV my entire time. I've lived in Japan, seven years now. Three TVs, no less.
Mm.
And I always have them on in the background. I love it.
Right.
I don't watch it. Japanese TV's absolutely dreadful. But it's a great way for learning Japanese, listening to Japanese. Mm. And what I like is I feel like I'm in the exciting bubble of Japan. Whenever I get to a hotel, when I've just arrived in Tokyo, I switch on the TV and I feel like I'm there in Japan, right?
Yeah.
And Japanese TV doesn't really show much of the world outside Japan.
Mm. It's just people watching people eating going, oh, Sakai.
Pretty much, effectively.
Oh my word.
When I put it on, it's great. I feel like I'm in that little bubble of Japan. I feel like I'm in that universe, and you will too. So get a TV, have it on in the background, and then I feel like that's actually a key part of feeling like you're in Japan, having a TV on in somewhere in the background.
Yeah, so, I think so.
I keep it on. I don't watch it. It's just there in the background, pumping out optimism and excitement into the room.
Optimism and excitement. The word I've got Sugoi, a lot of time for that.
The word Sugoi basically being repeated 35 times every minute on Japanese TV. That's all for now though, guys. Keep the comments, questions, stories coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye.
What's that? Ruggy? Mental.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.